Good morning. It's the 11th day of May, 2016. I'm Joe Stevens, and I'm here to interview Jody Anderson this morning. And we're going to start with a little bit of Jody's history.
Okay, I grew up in Ohio in the fall of 1940. When I was 10 years old, I had an extremely bad strep infection, and then there was no antibiotics, and you just toughed it out, and I was in the hospital for several weeks. Ended up with a heart murmur. The doctors advised my family to take me somewhere where I wouldn't catch any colds for the rest of the winter. My father had always wanted to come west to Arizona. So we got on the Santa Fe Chief up in Chicago, came to Wickenburg, January 1941. The chief at that point got in at about 5:30 in the morning. It was dark. And we were met by a cowboy from Ramuda Ranch named Tex Adair, A-D-A-I-R, Tex Adair. And I, at that point, wasn't supposed to walk or do anything, so Tex Adair carried me off the train. We went to a little restaurant, I think, for breakfast because Ramuda wasn't ready yet and the train wasn't serving breakfast. And then we went out to Ramuda. And my father then went back to Ohio to go back to run the business, and my mother and my two sisters and I stayed at Ramuda for, I think, 3 months, January, February, March. I couldn't ride. I couldn't really do anything. They let me sit out in the sun every now and then. I had brought all my lessons from home. There was a one-room schoolhouse. The teacher was Billy Fletcher. And you went from sort of 9 to 11:30, one-on-one. There were maybe six kids there. And you were able to keep up with your lessons. And I don't remember at that point whether I was going to the school. But the end result was that I finally got well. Dr. Breyer, who was the town doctor then, pronounced me well enough to get up and do things. And so I was allowed to go for my very first ride with my father. He came back in March to take us home. And that was 1941, and my family loved Ramuda. There were just three of us and the three sisters. My family continued to come, and then I remember going to the one-room schoolhouse. I remember one thing, that sometimes we had art lessons, and our teacher was R. Farrington Elwell, was our art teacher. And I guess Billy Fletcher, the teacher, would say, "Now don't go out and turn over rocks because you're liable to find scorpions and centipedes." So therefore, the first thing we did was to go out and turn over rocks. But those were good years. We kept going back. And the second year we went, which was January of 1942, Dallas Gant had been hired by Sophie Burden to be assistant manager. He and Edie Gant had not even been married for 1 year. I was then 11. Edie was like 20. And I thought she was the greatest thing in the world. She was nice. She was beautiful. She was did all kinds of things. She was my idol then, back in 1942. And because of connections made back then, my family continued to go to Ramuda. Dallas and Edie finally broke away and started Los Caballeros. I can't remember the late 40s, early 50s. At that point, I was boarding school, college. But the year I graduated from college, my one sister and I drove all the way to the West Coast and then back down to Arizona. And we stayed at the motel downtown, the Best Western, but we went out, and it was hot. It was July. went out to see Los Caballeros. And Dallas and Edie took us on a tour of the living room, all shut up for the summer. But that beautiful fireplace, and Rusty was a little fellow, 4 or 5 years old. Susie was a toddler. But then I reconnected with Edie. And graduated from college, worked in the East for a couple of years. Then my sister and I went to Europe for 3 months in the spring of 1955. Came back to Ohio, did not want to live in Ohio with my parents. And the telephone rang one day, and it was Edie calling from Wyoming, asking me if I wanted a job for the rest of the summer. And I said, I'll be there the day after tomorrow. Now, I have to, this is a side story, which I think is really quite funny. Why did Edie call me? John Burden and his wife Maureen had gone up to Abare Ranch in Wyoming to be Dallas's kind of assistant manager. But Maureen wasn't feeling well.
Now, wait a minute. During the summers, Dallas and Edie went to Wyoming?
Yes.
Okay.
As a summer job, they managed this ranch called Abare in the summer. But John and Maureen were there, but Maureen didn't feel well. And what was wrong with Maureen was that she had morning sickness. Morning sickness was their very first child, whose name is Barbara Burden, who I see at Quick Print all the time. And I tell her, I said, if it weren't for you, I'd probably be living back in Ohio married to a businessman. But anyway, this was great. Then at the end of the summer up there, Dallas said, why don't you come down and work for us at Los Caballeros this winter and be children's counselor? I said, sure. Up in Wyoming, I worked with Edie's mother, Josephine, and we ran the store, and that was fun. And that was great. I was in my 20s, Abare in the summer, Los Caballeros in the winter, maybe a month in between. I'd go back to Ohio to see my parents. And this went on for 4 years. Well, I knew the owner of the ranch was a man named Andy Anderson, who lived in La Jolla, California.
The Abare Ranch.
Abare Ranch in Wyoming. And he lived in La Jolla with his wife, Helen, who was his second wife. And he had had a heart attack, which was why he had to have managers up there. He couldn't live at that altitude any longer. But he would come for a week every summer. So I met Andy Anderson, and I knew that he had a son who was, it was a Korean War, and he was in the Army. Well, in 1958, it was my fourth summer there, this son was out of the Army, he had decided to finish college at the University of Denver, studying hotel and restaurant management, with an eye to Abare. So every other week he would come up for 3 or 4 days, and that was June of 58. And by the end of that summer, we were as good as engaged, and were married a year later. And spent 1 year living in Boulder, 59, 60. We were married in 59, and we went to Boulder. We both had jobs working in a hotel in Boulder. Andy also was going full-time to college down in Denver. We didn't have the same shift. We didn't have the same day off. But at the end of 1 year, we had some money in the bank. We had a college degree, and we had a baby girl. And the minute that baby girl was born in Denver, we got in the car and drove up to Wyoming. And my husband Andy then became Dallas Gant's assistant manager for that year. And then 62, we had our second little baby girl up in Wyoming. And then that fall and winter, Andy's father sold the ranch. And that sort of put us out of any reason for being in the desk ranch business. So we moved to Denver. Andy went in the machinery business. We had another baby girl. We raised our children in Denver. But we went up to Abare whenever we could, and whenever we could, which was very rarely, we came down to Wickenburg, to Los Caballeros. One time Andy had a business meeting at the San Marcos. Chandler?
Okay, yes.
We were sent down on a business meeting, and we went up to Wickenburg, and we figured we had enough money at that point that we could spend one night at Los Caballeros. And so we went up and saw Dallas and Edie and spent one night, and I will never, ever forget this. Dallas Gant comped our room. We didn't have to pay anything, which we barely could afford anyway. So then, 26 years in Denver, three daughters, all of whom worked at Abare in the summer, one of whom worked at Abare, but also was children's counselor following her mother's footsteps.
So after he sold the Abare, it remained a guest ranch?
Remained a guest ranch, remained very much the same. It was bought by the Gates Rubber Company in Denver, big company, and it still is owned and managed by a Gates Foundation, a Gates family foundation. And it's, bless their hearts, they've changed it very little. It's very much the same. We go every year. There was a period of time when, there again, we couldn't afford to go there, but we could go up and camp outside and come maybe come for lunch one day. That was great. But then years later, all of our daughters went off to college. They all work there.
Did any of the daughters work here in Wickenburg?
Yes, daughter Betsy worked here. She was children's counselor. She graduated from college in 1984, so she would have been maybe later in the 80s she was down here. For a couple of years, I think she worked. But
You were in Denver up for all that period of time.
Yes.
And when did you leave Denver and come?
Andy was a partner in a machinery business that sold mining and construction machinery, front-end loaders, Komatsu's, Clark Equipment, Liebherr, are some of the names. And his partner eventually moved on. Andy ended up owning the business, taking in a younger partner, and then selling out to the younger partner. And this was actually before he was of retirement age. He was a little, but it was a good, it was a very good time, and the young partner was very much able to buy the company. So then Andy went back to work a couple of things in the airplane business in Denver, a couple of jobs. So, but then we built the house down in Wickenburg in about 84 as a winter home. And then there was a weird period of time where we were spending 6 months in Denver and 6 months in Wickenburg, which I didn't like. You didn't really live anywhere. Then Andy went
where
back.
Where was the home in Wickenburg?
Where it is now, Los Caballeros.
At Los Caballeros.
Yeah, the house we now live in. And then it happened that Andy's original partner moved to Phoenix and took over the Peterbilt dealership. This gentleman had two sons who were then in the service, but he wanted them to join him in business. But in the meantime, he needed somebody, so he called Andy, and Andy went back to work in selling Peterbilt trucks for 2 years until the sons were able to kind of move in. So we were here then full time. So we sold our house in Denver, and then Wickenburg then became our permanent home, like 84. We really lived here full time. Um, So that's about the story. Wickenburg, so I've seen Wickenburg for a long time. And to my way of thinking, it hasn't really changed very much. I think the biggest change that we have noticed lately is that places, well, Remuda now is no more a guest ranch. Los Caballeros still is. But there was a time when people would come. They would come on the train. They would come with wardrobe trunks. And they would stay at least a week, usually 2 weeks, frequently a month, sometimes 2 months. They would be here for a long time, and they would come every year, the same nice people. That is no longer the case. Now, due to jet travel and other things, a family will come for 3 days, a long weekend. So that is all very, very different now.
During your time working at the guest ranches, what activities transpired between guest ranches?
Oh, that was wonderful. There was something called the Desert Sun Ranchers Association, and this was back in the 50s, 55 to 58, 59, and there were like seven guest ranches, Flying E, Monta Vista, Kale Bar, Los Caballeros, Remuda. I can't remember all of them at this point, but it was great because every Thursday, I think it was Thursday, there would be a square dance at one of the ranches, and so everybody from the other ranches would go there. So you got to see the other places and meet, you know, interact with the other guests, and that was great fun. Then every Saturday night, there was a dance at Bowman's Barn. Every Tuesday night, I think Flying E had a square dance in the top of their barn where you sat on bales of hay and somebody played the piano and somebody called the square dances. And that was fun. You could dance yourself crazy in a week's time. But the desert, and then there was a gymkhana, like a little rodeo. And if you were staying at Los Caballeros and the gymkhana was at Remuda, you rode there. And had the gymkhana, and then you rode home, and you know that was also, and that moved around to different places. That was fun. Then the most fun of all was the Cattle Rustlers Ball, and that was in January, February. I don't remember exactly when it was, but the Desert Sun Ranchers took over Bowman's Barn, and there was music and drinking and costumes. Everyone wore costumes. Edie Gant would contact a costume company in Phoenix, and they would bring up racks of costumes, which would be in the living room at Los Caballeros, and you could just go pick, you know, whatever you wanted for the week for the Cattle Rustlers Ball. So there were wonderful, wonderful costumes. That was really, really fun.
So there's a lot of interaction between the ranches.
Then,
it wasn't particularly competition. It was
no. It was just, you know, things like Cattle Rustlers Ball, the Gymkhanas, sure, or the square dances. It was just, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. So I think about those days.
I know that currently you're very involved in the St. Albans Episcopal Church here. But back in those days, was there a lot of church affiliation?
Well, in those days, first of all, chances are I was working on Sundays.
Sure.
I sort of maybe had the urge to go to church. There was not an Episcopal church in town until I had stopped working here, and Andy and I were married. We were married in 59, and St. Albans Church was built in 59, and we had our first baby in Denver, Wyoming, then down for that winter, and she was baptized. 60, maybe, early late 59, early, well, I forget, it was 60. No, it was 60 because she was born in July of 60. So probably that fall, she was baptized, but I was not attending church. I was taking care of a tiny baby, and then 2 years later, two tiny babies. And so it wasn't until we came down, built the house, and came down, that I finally started attending St. Albans.
When you were established,
yes,
in town.
Yes.
Yeah. But during the actual guest ranch periods of time, like you said, you were probably working.
Yes.
And most of the guests didn't take the time to go.
I wasn't really tuned into that at this point, so I don't really know.
Right.
I know there were homeowners at Los Caballeros at that point who were staunch Episcopalians and staunch members of St. Albans Church. I'm on a mission. Well, Jane Fisher, who is she and her husband are big contributors to this museum,
right,
were also very strong members of St. Albans. And there were several other homeowners. That's not the case anymore.
True. Besides the Fishers, tell me about some other interesting people that you met during your earlier days.
Well, in my early days, of course, I knew Squire and Sylvia McGuire.
Right.
And Boff and Rowena Howard, who were the original investors when Dallas and Edie built Los Caballeros. And so they were some of the original homes on what we call the South Mesa, Los Caballeros. So I knew them. Just other people that had, then later on when I was working here, that had homes, that had built homes here on the South Mesa. And that was all, that was the only place there were homes then.
Do you know any of the early pioneers of Wickenburg?
Well, not really. Looking back now, I remember when we built our house, Julie Brooks' father, whose name was Shorty Macias, mm-hmm. drove the bulldozer that scraped off the lot. And Shorty was a neat guy. And then Julie Brooks's aunt, whose name was Ursie Macias, when I would be very, very busy working as children's counselor at Los Caballeros, Dallas would hire her to help me out. So I'd have her. So I knew her a long time ago.
Now, Julie Brooks, for the record here, is currently the Chamber of Commerce director and has been for a number of years.
Well, I just always think about the fact that I really didn't know her father. Other pioneers.
Of course, you knew the Burdens.
Oh, of course, the Burdens. And the Burdens now, I mean, I knew the Burdens as kids. When, of course, there was that one year when I was so sick, and then when I went back, I was better. The Burdens went to school in Wickenburg. They didn't go to the little, they came into town to school.
They didn't use the little school.
No, no. They would come into the regular schoolhouse.
But how about Jack and Sophie? Do you have any stories about them?
Well, Sophie.
The original owners.
Sophie, I thought, was wonderful. The first year that we went, or maybe it was the second year because I was able to ride, Jack was sick, and there was a little farm that Ramuda owned with another house, and he was there. And I can the only time I remember seeing Jack Burden was we were riding horses, and we went by this little house, and there was a man sitting out in the sun in a chair, and we were told that that was Jack Burden. And I think within the year he had died.
Right.
He was not well.
Right.
So I remember Sophie, and I remember, we called her Tootie, Sophie Jr., and John and Dana.
Any stories?
Well, not really. They were sort of real Western kids, and, you know, I'd look at them, and they knew how to ride, and they knew how to, and they were strong and healthy, and... no real stories about the Burden kids then, and it's just that we've been friends now for a million years, and
it's unusual not to have any Dana stories or John stories.
No, not really.
Okay. Now, during the summers, you currently go up to Santa Fe.
Yes,
for a
now.
Few months.
Yeah.
But what brings you back to Wickenburg?
Well, this is our home.
Yep.
This is our home. And winters in Wickenburg, and we love our home, and people, wonderful people in Wickenburg. And our church has gotten to be very much a factor in our lives, more and more so all the time. So we have some very good friends. Nice people have homes out at Los Caballeros. the snowbird types, most of them are gone now, see? So we, and that has changed too. It used, years ago when I was working here, the people that had homes here, like the Fishers, would come in October and would not leave until April or May. They would be here all winter. That's not true anymore. People will have homes at Los Caballeros. There are a few people where, like us, where it's their really their main residence. There are other people who have a home there that might be there for a week and then go back wherever and have another home, some, maybe have two or three homes somewhere. And so Wickenburg is just a now and then place for them. And there are a lot of people, there's several people like that. Or they maybe don't come until after Christmas and then they're gone before Easter or something. You know, it's just not, homeowners just don't, it's not the community it used to be. It used to be a very stable, strong community. I don't feel that it's that anymore.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think you see that in the golf course itself, in mm-hmm. membership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any favorite Wickenburg memory?
Oh, gee. Well, it was, I mean, if I, back when I was in my 20s and working in Wyoming in the summer and Arizona in the winter, Wickenburg was, and I told you about all the dances, and maybe I was dating cowboys at that point and having a very good time.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember, and there are lots of sort of funny little memories about Los Caballeros. And at that point, there were some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people that worked there. The head waitress at Los Caballeros was a tiger named Diane McDougall. Her husband was a wrangler. They were from Colorado, and they were sort of newlyweds. But Diane was a ringleader, and she, oh, Lord, one time she heard there was a dance at the Champy Ranch Schoolhouse. And so we couldn't go until everybody was off work. And she'd made a jug of something called a salty dog. And it was gin and grapefruit juice. Oh, God. And we drove over. This was driving to Castle Hot Springs, to this Champy Ranch Schoolhouse dance, which was like also a costume thing. It was crazy. And then driving back and then going to work the next morning. You know, things like that were just insane. But fun. And I still keep in touch with some of these people.
That's cool. Well, Wickenburg has made some changes, but you said you didn't think it really has changed all that much.
Not really. I'm sure it's grown, but I think it's grown fairly gracefully. It's sorry that all the guest ranches are now, are not guest ranches anymore, because it used to be called the guest ranch capital of the world when there were seven or eight of them here, and all pretty cute places. And enormous, you know, the golf course at Los Caballeros, and now 50 plus homes built around the golf course. That, of course, is a big change from the way Los Caballeros used to be. When I first worked there, it was the way it had originally been built, but over the years it grew from, what, 50 guests to 150 guests, something like that. But Wickenburg, I remember the little Saguaro Theater, which used to be closer to here, not where it is now. And I can remember going to see Gone with the Wind with Tootie Burden. I think it was the two of us that went to see Gone with the Wind there, and that was a long time ago. Mm.
So you did periodically go to the movies?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember a lot of the stores. There was a wonderful store called Keys Indian Store where, you know, you could get really nice stuff. There, Ryan Evans was a drugstore with a soda fountain. And when you went to the Gymkhana and won a race or something like that, you were given a certificate to go to Ryan Evans and get a chocolate milkshake or something.
Brayton's Commercial.
Brayton's Commercial. I remember that. I remember going into the Brayton store, and the nice people, Thurber was their name, that ran Brayton's, and you could go to Brayton's, and you could get a pair of genuine Levi's for like $3.50. And then, of course, that became the museum, and the museum burned down here. Right. And I can kind of remember that, which was a terrible thing. And but then it was rebuilt and revitalized. What other stores were there? Oh, there were wonderful stores. Edie Gant's mother, Josephine Cortine, had a store over where Anita's is now. That Anita's used to be three stores. One was a bookstore. The first one was a bookstore. Forgotten the name of the people, but it was a nice little bookstore. And then the next one was Josephine Cortine's. It was called the Kitchen Shop. And she had, nice china and really nice, nice things. And then the third one was, I think, called Dean Kingston's, and it was really cute Western clothes. Nice shirts, and I remember that very well. I'm trying to think of other. And there was only one little grocery store right downtown, right by Nana's, sort of on that corner there, which is now a Bermuda building.
The water tower is.
Yeah, sort of faintly.
And that became McKeever's.
Did it?
Eventually.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So at that point, you know, when I was working here, I was just really working and having fun and not paying too much attention to the town.
That makes sense. Anything else that you think would be of interest that we might not have covered?
Well, I'm sure I'll think of things later on. Let's see if I... No, that's pretty much it.
Well, it's been a fun history for me to hear the stories and the stories about the different ranches, etc., and I appreciate that.
Well, that Desert Sun Ranchers Association was wonderful. And then I was here actually for the beginning of the Desert Caballeros ride. Did you know that my father was a charter member?
Is that right?
His name is in the little book every year, but he never went on a ride.
Ah.
Well, he was busy back in Ohio running the company, and it just never worked out time-wise that he could come out. But
your husband Andy has been on the ride.
Oh, 17 times. And sons-in-law now are on,
right.
going on the ride.
Yep.
I'm sure there are many, many little memories that... I have to tell... This is a really good story. This goes back to the first year, 1955... When I was working here, I wanted to climb Vulture Peak. And I had, I think, Thursdays off, was my day off. And there was a dishwasher, young man, who had Thursdays off. And so I said, do you want to climb Vulture Peak? So he said, yes. So we packed a little picnic lunch, and I had a car, and we drove out. There was no trailhead or anything then. You just sort of went out and looked at the mountain. So we were, and you, at that point there was no real trail or anything. We just were bashing our way up cross country, and when you get on the mountain you can't really tell where you are. So it was spring, it was a really nice day, and we got to a point where there were two big rocks that were leaning together like a teepee with shade and grass underneath. So we went in this little sheltered place, and in one of the big rocks there was a hole, and there was a small rock stuffed in the hole. So I took the small rock out, and behind the small rock was a Prince Albert tobacco can. In the tobacco can was a folded up piece of paper, and a man had written a note saying, "This is a nice day and I'm climbing the mountain, and if you ever find this, please write your name." It was the same day, and it was like 50 years later.
Wow.
So, and we didn't have a pen, a pencil, or anything, and here was this piece of paper. We went over to a saguaro. We cut off a thorn. We pricked our fingers, and we wrote our names in blood. And then continued on up and finally found the top of the mountain. And at that point, there was an old ammunition can up there, and you'd sign your name. And then we went back down. And then years later, it was before I was married. I was talking about this at cocktails one night, and there were some nice people from St. Louis. I've forgotten their names, but they said, "We want to go find that." And so at that point, I knew a little bit more about the trails, and I think I borrowed Rusty's Jeep, and we went up to that Jeep trailhead, and I was able to find. And at this point, we all had taken pencils and pens, and we all signed our names and put it back in. Well, then more years go by. I'm married, babies, girls are big enough to hike, have a dog. So Andy and the girls and I decide, and I said, "Look, we're going to go find this." Well, I couldn't find it. And this happened 2 or 3 years in a row where I couldn't find it. But then went on and climbed the mountain. Well, then I finally, one year, I said, "Look, the dog and I are not going to go to the top of the mountain. I'm going to find that place." So I finally found it. The rock was gone. The hole was gone. But over on the ground was a flattened Prince Albert tobacco can. And of course, the piece of paper was gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
I still have the Prince Albert tobacco can. But
you wonder who in the world would destroy that piece of history.
I know. The people are dumb, do a lot of dumb things.
That's a great story.
I don't know if I could ever find it again. I don't know if I could ever get up there again.
Well, Jody, I want to thank you for taking the time to come in today and chat. And it's been great fun learning a little of your life history and stories of Wickenburg, and I always enjoy that. Thanks again, Jody.
Wickenburg was a great place to work, a great place to, and it's been a great place to live. And thank you, Joe.
No problem.